Coming next, our afternoon play. Anne McCleavy is determined to discover if the so-called princess of the occult is the real thing.
New drama on BBC Two.
The first time I laid eyes on Miss Siddle, I noticed that look she had.
That look of a lover driven mad by unrequited love.
As the Brotherhood's work becomes dependent on their new muse.
The difference between a good artist and a bad artist is Lizzie Siddle.
Lizzie?
Their loyalties begin to unravel.
She may die. She may die.
What of my masterpiece, should that be the case?
You have everything! I have nothing except Lizzie's affection!
Meet the men who blew apart the art world. Desperate Romantics continues tonight at 9 on BBC Two.
Now on BBC Radio 4, our afternoon play, and we're heading back to Victorian Edinburgh for our series McCleavy by David Ashton, starring Brian Cox as James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. Episode 3, The Chosen One.
I detest the odour of cabbage in the house.
Can you smell it?
Of course I can smell it.
I thought you wouldn't mind, John.
It is a common vegetable.
I'll tell the cook.
She steals from the kitchen.
Surely not.
I watch you all.
Oh, dear. Not in the water closet, I hope.
You are a foolish woman, Emmalina. I hate it here. It is dark and my lungs are on fire.
John, if I could only help.
I am beyond you. Must leave now.
Don't leave me, John.
I have no choice. I am on fire.
Compose yourself, Mrs. Gulliver. If the spirits sense agitation, they may tear the soul of the sensitive apart.
I shall endeavor so.
Good. Miss Eagle, are you all right?
Well enough. A very powerful possession.
John was a very strong man.
She is exhausted and in some pain, Mrs. Gulliver. We must leave her time to replenish her vital forces.
But I want to talk to him again, Mr. Cotton. It is essential.
We can discuss this later, ma'am. Allow me.
Thank you, Miss Eagle. Thank you so much.
I am beyond you all.
She is mightily impressed and will tell her friends. Your fame will spread, my dear.
I am weary.
Why don't you sleep? Sleep works wonders.
I would wish for peace, but only death brings that. Only death.
There is something about a city in the dead of night that is profoundly intriguing. It is like a giant animal slumbering in its lair, flanks moving in and out as it draws breath, eyes yellow and slitted, claws sheathed for the nonce, but ready to strike at a moment's notice. Perhaps beyond our mortal ken lies another world, a world of shifting, ghostly shapes and powers invisible, beyond all imaginings, dark and deadly. They seek vengeance for an ancient insult, a wound inflicted, a weeping sore that never heals. Far beyond the grave they carry that wound and wait for a weak spot. Ah, death is the last mystery, the great adventure. But I'm not in any hurry to investigate. Jean Brash, who keeps the best body house in Edinburgh, the Just Land, keeps also the finest coffee, and assures me she will shortly receive a new batch from the Lebanon. The least I can do is hang around to try the brew. The day is fine. We're safe during the day. But the night belongs to Satan. Lucifer, thrown from heaven, thirsting for revenge. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and I shall keep on the qui vive, lest his satanic majesty come to town.
Oh, my God!
What ails you, mistress?
Hannah, it's only you.
None other than...
Must you make all that racket?
9 o'clock. What would madam like for breakfast? A mess of pottage.
I had a terrible dream.
McCleavy naked as an ape.
No. I was like a wee creature, a bird of sorts, and this great big thing was looming over me with great big hairy claws.
Well, that's what you get for eating French snails with champagne. And the thing's hardly out their shells.
They're supposed to be like that.
He was a guy queer looking bugger anyway, that man you were flouncing over.
He's a coffee importer, a special breed.
Mm-hmm. Breakfast. What do you desire, Mrs. Brash?
Something plain.
I'll scare up an egg.
I hear Donald McKeever's back in the city.
Is he now?
Your old admirer. Still in love, I'll wager.
Soft boiled. The egg.
That's how I like it. Oh, it was a bad dream, Hannah. Evil. And I was like a child.
Stay away from snails, then. Mollusks play merry hell with a mind.
There they were, two young constables staring into each other's eyes, McCleavy.
Worrying, right enough.
They'd be trying to mesmerise, iris to iris.
How would you know, Mulholland?
It's all the rage, sir.
It is superstitious drivel.
They say there's scientific evidence to support such, Lieutenant Roach.
The pernicious influence of spiritualism creeping round the city like a plague, like some sort of Catholic plot.
Oh, you blame the Pope, do you?
I would not be surprised.
That hadn't occurred to me.
I will not have my constables staring into each other's eyes.
Hmm. What does Mrs. Roach think?
She... I am being dragged this very evening to the Usher Hall to witness some show full of quackery and deceit.
Mariana Eagle, Princess of the Occult.
I have seen the poster. Some young female discovered in America and brought over here to blight and ruin our civilization.
I don't think the Edinburgh Castle will crumble because somebody's conversing with goblins in the Usher Hall.
Our country is founded upon God-fearing Christianity, McCleavy. Undermine that and anything can happen.
Lieutenant Roach, I am in dire necessity.
Mr. Craigie, is married life not agreeing with you, sir?
Oh, it was fine until a while ago.
What happened then?
My house has disappeared, vanished, as if it had never been.
You have not touched your pastry.
You can have it.
Very nice. Fleeky. Still lost in your dream?
Dreams foreshadow things, Hannah.
Ladies, what a glorious sight to behold.
Mr. McKeever, I believe you know my friend Hannah here.
Only too well. How are you, Miss Simple?
Tolerable.
May I join you?
If that's your intention.
Thank you. If you would allow me, Hannah, you have a sliver of pastry just below your nostril to the left. Permit me with my napkin to remove it.
So gallant. And how have the tables treated you, Mr. McKeever?
Good in Bristol, fair in London, catastrophic in Manchester.
So you're back with your tail between your legs?
Not quite. I made a killing in Dumfries.
Still a gambler, eh?
I cannot change.
Well, you'll have to take the consequence.
I still have hopes, Hannah.
I'm no a card to be turned over.
Beg your pardon for the intrusion, ladies.
At Waverley Station.
My companion tells me that you are Jean Brash, a woman of influence.
I have my moments.
Allow me to introduce myself. Cyrus Cotton, protector and promoter to Mariana Eagle.
The spirit woman.
No less.
She knows the future, they say.
That could be useful in matters matrimonial.
I can tell you for nothing.
Mariana, you are right, my dear. The lady is Jean Brash.
I was sure of it. You have the advantage of me, Miss Eagle. I am certain that we have never met.
Perhaps it was in another world.
This one will suffice, sir.
You see, you can tell the future, Miss Eagle.
Oh, that depends upon your past.
I used to be a dab hand with the tea leaves.
It is also said that many of the supposed gifts of a medium are nothing but tricks of the trade.
There are such tricksters, but Mariana is not one of them.
Every action leaves a trace element. These traces form a pattern, a shape of things to come. Sometimes I can read such things, even in the tea leaves.
Then, tell me one thing about myself I would not expect you to know.
You have bad dreams. Goodbye, Mistress Brash. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight.
I don't have tickets.
Oh, you will be there. I know it. We must go, Cyrus.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, one and all.
Donald McKeever, having made such a killing in Dumfries, you may purchase me a hot chocolate and Mistress Brash a fresh pot of coffee.
Your wish is my command, Hannah. Just like old times, eh?
What do you think, mistress?
I think, Hannah, that we'll go and see the show.
So it was not the whole house that disappeared, sir, more like the contents.
My clothes, my wife's fine dresses, jewellery, even the wine cellar, all gone.
A clean sweep, eh?
My poor little Gertrude is bereft.
Your wife, I take it?
Of course it's my wife.
And where is the lady?
She's gone back to her mother.
Oh dear, that is bereft.
Been round the back, sir.
And?
Usual story.
And the honeymoon was such a splendid affair.
Where did you go?
The Isle of Skye.
Did it rain?
All the time.
That place is forever drenched.
It was splendid. And then to return to this. Oh, how could it happen? We let the servants go, locked the house securely, and when we came back, it was just the same. Locked, secure, just the same.
Not quite, sir. I noticed at the back one of the small windows is a crack open.
It jams.
I checked the outside wall below.
Scrapes and scuff marks, no doubt.
Uh-huh. And the frame itself scratched.
But even if opened, who could enter such an aperture?
A small boy. Agile, as they often are.
And I notice that you keep a spare set of keys on a nail by the front door.
That's only common sense.
Well, here's another kind. The boy through the window to unlock the front door, the thieves in, rifle the house, load the cart, off they travel.
The boy locks the door again, hangs up the keys, out back through the window, pulls it tight shut and...
Hey presto, the mystery of the locked room.
That's terrible.
Criminal mind in action, sir.
What can be done?
We'll make the usual rounds. I must ask you to compile a list of the jewellery and clothes. I fear the wine will be long gone.
There is one thing above all.
And what is that, Mr. Craigie?
A present to Gertrude from her mother.
Gertrude is the wife.
A silver music box. She treasures it dearly.
Any particular tune?
It plays the Bluebells of Scotland.
Ah, oh, where, tell me where, has my Highland laddie gone? Most appropriate.
That was nice of Mr. Craigie to give us his tickets.
I don't think wee Gertrude was in a mood to be exhibited.
Well, we did our best for him, round all the usual haunts, but not a sign.
Maybe we should ask Miss Eagle. You haven't come across a music box in your travels, eh? Spear amongst the spirits.
There's Lieutenant Roach, down and along.
Shall we wave?
I don't think so. He doesn't look very happy.
He's with his wife.
James McLeavy, I had no perception that you favoured the occult.
Jean Brash. Are you going to open a body house in the spirit world?
And how are you, Constable?
Very well, thank you.
Isn't he a handsome brute? Well, what do you think, Mr. McKeever?
He has youth on his side.
What have you got?
I can still cut a dash.
My coffee has arrived from the Lebanon.
What is it like?
A sublime experience.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Usher Hall, you are about to witness manifestations that will challenge belief, that may change the way you undertake your own life. As the Bard of Avon put it, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Hamlet, just after the ghost.
Prepare yourselves to be in the presence of magical powers, powers that transcend mortal understanding. An awesome journey.
Hold on to your hearts, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to present Miss Mariana Eagle. An object. Can you tell? Voice it, Mariana. You must tell me, what do I hold?
A lady's glove.
Will you tell me its material?
Leather. Oh. It is made of leather.
It's no that difficult.
How so? The woman's blindfolded and facing to the back of the stage.
All in how he frames the question.
How do you know about it?
I've been around, Hannah.
What do you think, James?
I reserve judgment.
Look, sir, he's got the lieutenant.
And now, this fine gentleman here. Can you offer forth an object, sir?
I doubt it very much.
Oh,
oh, don't elbow me, Matilda. All right, very well. Here.
Thank you. I ask you, Mariana, here. Do you know? Pray, tell me.
It is a handkerchief.
One handkerchief. Its color?
White.
Spotless.
I'll have it back, please.
Are you afraid that I will steal it, sir?
It is a simple enough matter, a code of sorts.
Explain it, then.
Because I can't crack it.
It takes a certain mental facility.
Does it now?
Well, that lets the rest of us out.
I'm sure there's hope. But, as I have said, an advanced mental facility.
Here, I've a challenge for you.
A volunteer, that's what I like to see. The Lady of the Tea Leaves. What do you have to offer?
Try this.
Oh, Hannah Semple, do you want to show me up?
See how good she is this time.
Indeed, a most interesting artifact. Marianna, here's a thing. Hurry up, this is a dangerous situation. Very dangerous.
A razor. It is a cutthroat razor.
Oh. What is it, my dear girl?
Blood. I can see blood.
I wipe it every morning.
The man beside you. His hands covered in blood. His face. His body. Washed in blood.
Forgive me for such dramatics. I do not come across a man like you very often.
What kind of man is that?
I always have tea at the interval. Darjeeling, care for some?
No, thanks.
I'd only spill it, ma'am.
What kind of man?
A man of such dark passion and mortality, the spirit spoke to me. You carry an aura of doom, a bridegroom of blood.
You trail stuff around, that's for sure.
I bring doom to those who break the law.
And not only that, you bring death.
It has happened in the course of justice.
I was curious to meet such a man.
Well, now you have.
And we were curious to meet such a beautiful woman, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Please, extend your hand to me, sir.
I can manage that.
Now, I put out mine. Over, till the palms touch. Now, do not move.
I can manage that.
What is it, Miss Eagle?
I saw an old woman. Skin and bones. Dying in a nest of cells. Curled up like a dry leaf.
I do not know such a person.
5 minutes, Marianna.
Thank you. The vision means nothing to you, Inspector?
I didn't see it. You did.
You may leave now. I must compose myself for the second half.
It's quite a show you put on.
It is mostly for popular consumption. But now and again, a different reality intrudes.
Like the blood.
And the old woman you do not recognize?
We'll be on our way, ma'am. Enjoy the Darjeeling.
Thank you. Inspector, please take care. The doom you carry might well be your own.
I'll keep a weather eye open. Goodbye, Miss Eagle.
What do you think of all that?
A mystery to me.
Inspector, let me escort you back to the hall.
We'll find our way. What's the hole on the wall there?
Ah, that is the Judas window. Let me show you. Now, from here we can see everyone in the audience, but not they us.
Is that so? Aha! There's the lieutenant, and Jean Brash, Hannah, and...
Let me have a look-see. Oh, light enough.
Did I not read in the program that there will be a mesmeric demonstration?
One of Marianna's many talents.
Out of the way, Mulholland. You see that man where I'm pointing?
Not the lieutenant.
No, not at all. Him. Him over there.
Beside the razor lady?
That's the fellow. Donald McKeever.
A man of advanced mental facility.
You think she could take him on?
He wouldn't stand a chance.
I'd consider it a favor.
2 minutes still, Carlton.
I'll do my best, sir. I always like to stay on the right side of the law. Now, you must excuse me.
Advanced mental facility.
Uh-huh. Though one thing has just struck me, Constable.
And what is that, Inspector?
It is possible that Miss Eagle could have seen me through this very window before she came onto the stage.
You have a terrible suspicious mind, sir.
Since birth, Mulholland. Only since birth.
The moment of truth, Hannah.
Wasn't it my idea?
What if he confesses things on his mind?
It's a curse.
A young lady in the audience, Hannah Semple. I wish to make her my wife. I'll go down on my knees. Oh, dear Miss Semple, give me the joy of hearing your dulcet tones in answer.
In front of all the folk?
He'd be spellbound.
Oh, spellbound or no, it would be his last act.
Can you two keep quiet?
So, Mr. McKeever,
Can you assure our audience that you are in no way an accomplice of Miss Eagle or myself?
I most certainly can.
And that you will resist the mesmeric forces with all the power at your command?
Resist, defy, and conquer.
I leave the subject to you, Miss Eagle.
Mr. McKean, will you turn towards me?
I will.
Take a deep breath. And as you let it go, I wish you to empty out your mind.
That'll no be difficult.
What you wished?
Now, look into my eyes and tell me what you see.
I see my own reflection.
And is it a strong man you see?
Strong as an oak.
Good, that's good. Such men are rare. Now, I want you to look deep in my eyes. You're strong. You need not fear to lose yourself. You need not fear surrender. You are strong.
I am strong as an oak.
Look into my eyes. Listen to the sound of my voice. Observe this ring upon my finger. See how it glitters in the light? See how it glitters in the light.
He'll never live it down.
Oh, Hannah Semple will see to that.
The way he stood on one leg.
With his arms out like wings. Oh, cock the doodle dee!
What in God's name? Oh, you two, I might have known it.
Just reliving last night, sir.
What an embarrassment.
Well, the man was asked, under the mesmeric influence, to render the sound of the animal he most resembled inside.
And it turned out to be a cockerel.
Thank God it wasn't me up there.
And what would your inner animal be, sir?
A crocodile, probably. Stuart Craigie was at the station this morning and he seemed to be mostly concerned about a music box.
The Bluebells of Scotland.
Very romantic. What is your progress on the theft?
Nothing so far, but I've set certain inquiries in motion.
I wait with bated breath. On the way down Leith Walk, I crossed paths with John Shields, manager of the British Linen. He told me something in strict confidence.
Which you're about to break.
Don't be smart, James. One of his clients has withdrawn a large amount of cash from her account, an old lady, and when he inquired as to what she might be intending with the cash, the woman was somewhat evasive.
No law against that, sir.
Bankers, I hate to see money going out the door.
Yes, but according to Shields, the old lady has a tenuous connection to her wits. He's worried lest there be exploitation of some kind.
What's the name of this old lady?
A Mrs. Gulliver. I know her from church.
Short, slight frame, white hair, blue eyes.
Hangs her head to the side.
Indeed, how did you two
she
know?
She lives opposite Stuart Craigie.
We met her when we knocked the street doors to see if anyone had noticed unusual activity.
Not a person had, too respectable.
Well, I want you to poke your nose in.
Under what guise?
We could use the Craigie theft as excuse.
That's a clever idea, Constable.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Well, if that's your wish, sir.
It is. Since her husband's death, Mrs. Gulliver has been a trifle sporadic in her attendance at the Kirk, but she is a good Christian soul for all that. This is out of character.
Perhaps she's donating to charity?
Then why not say so?
Not every good Christian proclaims the fact.
I don't need lessons in Christianity from you, McCleavy. Now go forth and labour.
I don't get many visitors. Not that I can see.
See?
Visible.
Well, we're most certainly that.
And have to report that your locks and bolts are fine and steady.
Oh. Poor Mr. Craigie.
Most unfortunate.
There he was, full of the joys of spring. Mind you, it does not last.
What doesn't last?
The joys of spring. Summer, autumn, and then winter, or a bitter season.
Mrs. Gulliver, it has come to our notice that you may have withdrawn a sum of money from your bank.
I did, as instructed.
Who instructed you, ma'am?
My husband, John.
Would that be him up there in the picture?
Yes.
With the black crepe round it?
Yes.
Forgive me, but would that not seem to indicate that your husband is, in fact, dead?
Yes. But he speaks to me often.
Ah, what does he say?
That is a private matter beyond mortal understanding.
Then what does he instruct you?
That is none of your business, young man. Gentlemen, I thank you for your concern as regards my security. But now, I must ask you to leave. I am fatigued and need a wee lie down.
I'm sorry if we've tired you out, ma'am.
I shall recover. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, one thing more.
Yes, ma'am?
Could you both, gentlemen, sniff?
Sniff?
Yes, please. What do you smell?
Furniture polish. We a touch of lavender.
Definitely lavender.
No cabbage?
Not at all.
Then your visit has not been in vain, gentlemen. Goodbye.
Mrs. Scholliver, I have no right whatsoever to intrude upon the intimate exchange of husband and wife, dead or alive, but I would ask you one thing.
And what is that?
Do not proceed on impulse. Think long and deep before committing yourself to a course of action. What profession was your husband?
An undertaker.
A man noted for their cautious calculations. Follow his example. Make caution your watchword. Look before you leap.
That's what John used to say.
A wise man, Mrs. Gulliver.
I will consider what you say.
Thank you. It has been most illuminating. A meeting of minds.
You gave me your word.
To err is human.
You promised.
The last time, I swear it.
That horrible little man asking for money.
An oversight. It will be corrected.
I perform on stage like a monkey. Cheap tricks. It is a glove. It is brown. It is leather. Worse than any gimcrack charlatan.
To please the public.
These poor deluded women.
They need comfort.
You glean details from their servants. The cook steals. The house stinks of cabbage. And I corrupt myself. My powers. I no longer know what is real and what is not.
Your mesmeric influence is beyond price.
To make a man stand on one leg? And all to make money which you spend like water.
I wine and dine these people to advance your career.
To make yourself important in their eyes.
Not at all. We deserve a good life.
I don't want a good life. I want peace. Every city, it is the same story. One of your creditors knocks upon my door. But not this city. Not this moment. I am brought here for a reason. I have waited a long time, Cyrus.
Of course. It is your little secret. A secret you will not even confide to me.
Not even to you. The spirits and I have made a pact. To break that bond will cause great peril. I warn you.
I understand. You must trust me. Am I not like a father to you?
Yes.
The father you never had?
Yes. I have no one else. No father. No mother.
Half an hour call, Miss Eagle.
I will leave you now. You must compose yourself, my dear. Your public awaits.
Do not betray me, Cyrus.
Never. On my life. I will take care of everything, Mariana. Everything.
Take your life in your hands around these parts.
Uh-huh. Beyond mortal understanding.
What?
Mrs. Gulliver's words. And someone else's.
Cyrus Cotton, from the theatre.
And the old woman has been in commune with her dead husband. There's too much ectoplasm floating about Mulholland.
Swindle of some sort?
Folks are credulous. Last night, Miss Eagle saw blood on my hands, she said.
She did indeed.
It made me curious, so this morning I sent an inquiry to the Bristol police. That city was their last port of call. And as regards the Craigie theft, here is our present destination.
The Rusty Nail. A tavern straight from hell.
Headquarters of the Moxie gang.
Desperate bunch, right enough.
I have saved them to last.
The men are savage, and the women 10 times worse. Do we have to go in, sir?
That's funny. The noise has stopped.
Maybe somebody died.
Well, there's your answer, Constable. Where, tell me, where has my Highland laddie gone?
Damned music box.
A present to wee Gertrude from her mother. Last time I came in by the back door,
this time we'll go in the front.
I wish we had reinforcements.
You have your hornbeam stick, and I my propensity for directed violence. Ready? What's the matter?
You usually say one, two, three.
You can see it this time.
Very kind, sir. One, two, three!
Caper, eh?
One of the best.
Oh, it's good to know we haven't lost our touch.
You're a man of blood right now.
What is all that bedlam in the cells, McCleavy?
You explain, Mulholland. I'm out of breath.
Bluebells of Scotland, sir. On the music box, while the Moxie women danced around in all their stolen finery. For a moment, they looked almost...
angelic. Until they saw us.
From then on, it was devil take the hindmost.
But justice prevailed.
I am afraid Mistress Craigie's dresses have been somewhat ripped to pieces. Mr. Craigie's wine's all drunk and the money long gone.
But we did retrieve this.
Stood on in the fracas, I'm afraid.
But maybe we Gertrude will now come back to conjugal bliss.
Mrs. Craigie has already returned. She has unfortunately brought her mother along.
Oh dear.
That'll put a damper on the bliss.
Here, this arrived from Bristol Police. It is addressed to you, McCleavy. Your fame spreads.
Thank you, sir. I shall endeavour not to let the adulation go to my head. Well, well. This concerns the Gulliver situation.
I await your findings.
You will receive them forthwith, Lieutenant. The fruits of my labour.
A very nice repast, Mr. McKeever.
Aye, you were the envy of the restaurant. One cock with two hens.
Are you sure? I stood on the one leg.
Proud as punch.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
I've never been good at that. I lack balance.
I've noticed this.
I was worried you might propose to Hannah here under the influence.
I don't need mesmerism for that.
Just abstinence.
So what now do you think of Miss Eagle?
Well, she is a powerful force, for good or evil.
That's the trouble with power.
Well, it is hope that the just land hasn't fallen down in her absence, mistress.
Indeed, let us hope for a lucky charm.
And to that end, with my compliments, Miss Semple.
What is it?
I believe it to be a wee box.
Open it, if you please.
A ring?
Gold? Simpson's the jewellers, no less.
For whatever finger fits, Hannah.
And what if I don't want such?
Throw it out the window. Angus, can you stop the horses? I shall bid you good night, ladies.
Is there not a gaming house close by here?
Indeed there is. Perhaps the mesmer woman should have altered me to a leper.
Why is that?
Never change their spots.
Exactly. Good night, Miss Semple.
Well, are you going to try it on?
Might as well.
A perfect fit. Are you going to keep it?
Might as well. Not in the wedding finger.
Think of it as a statement of intent. Did you see that?
What is it?
Something on the corner there, looking at me.
Wait, no. Nothing in sight, mistress.
I saw it, like in my dream, watching at me. A shape. A black sheep.
Let's go home, Mistress Brash. It's been a long day.
So, the Princess of the Occult left Bristol under something of a cloud, eh?
Cyrus Cotton certainly did. An old lady who became addicted to private seances in order to contact a dead sister parted with a deal of her savings to him.
But it wasn't discovered till they were long gone.
And in any case, she will hear nothing against Mariana Eagle and refuses to press charges.
Bristol police had no proof, nothing. Up in smoke.
Mr. Cotton is the villain of the piece, is he then?
Who knows?
You think the same thing is going on here?
It's possible.
This is a very delicate matter. We cannot blunder in and start throwing accusations right, left and centre. We're dealing with a respectable widow woman here.
Aye, you have to respect the respectable.
Come in. What is it, Sergeant Murdoch?
I have a word for the inspector, sir.
Have you now? Back in a minute, sir. Duty calls.
very delicate matter.
And she's still got all her marbles. Well, most of them.
Perhaps if I went to see her, I did know her husband. I didn't like him, though.
Why not, sir?
He always looked at me as if measuring out a coffin.
Delicacy can go to hell. Mrs. Gulliver's cook had the night off. She returned to the house to find the front door open and her mistress upon the floor in the hall.
Dead and gone?
Unconscious, and now in the hospital. The gloves are off, sir.
As you say, McCleavy, delicacy can go to hell.
We must leave, my dear. Leave at once.
What are you saying?
Pack our bags and go.
What have you done?
There's been an accident.
Tell me.
The old woman, she offered money and then at the last drew back.
You have harmed her.
I pushed. She fell.
You left her there.
No time for all this. We must leave. See, I have the money here in this packet. We can make a new start, Marianne.
And when she tells the police?
Later. We can talk later.
There is no later. Innocent blood demands retribution.
We can go back to America, safe and sound.
I am not leaving. I warned you, Cyrus. I have made a bond with the spirits. That bond must not be broken.
Then I shall leave alone.
I cannot afford that.
What?
And you must pay the price.
The price?
You must take the blame. The rightful blame.
I don't think so, my dear.
Perhaps you are correct. Perhaps we should leave. Yes. Tell me what to do. You're like father to me. I have no one else.
Yes. Like a father. Now you see it.
Yes. What shall I do? Tell me. Look into my eyes.
I am to tell you, yes, safe and sound.
See the ring on my finger? How it glitters in the light? How it glitters in the light.
Mulholland, where are you?
I'm over here.
Where's that?
Right behind you.
Oh, for God's sake! Stop creeping around like a bloody phantom.
I am not creeping. I'm negotiating the obstacles, unlike yourself. With noise awake and the dead.
Shh!
Ah! Oh, a snake! Around my neck! It's a rope. Theatrical hinder parts are full of such things. Oh. They dangle.
Well, it's not very tidy.
Oh! Well, that was sharp. I don't know why you wouldn't let the stage doorman put on the lights.
Because that would signal our presence. According to the man, Cyrus Cotton left the theatre just after the show ended and came back not a half an hour ago.
Miss Eagle is still in her dressing room.
Communing with the spirits, no doubt.
Shh! Sir!
What?
Don't move.
I can't move. You've gripped me like an octopus.
On the actual stage, at the back corner, is that not the figure of a man?
Oh, you may be right. Cyrus Cotton, if that is indeed yourself back there, I would ask you to come forward.
There's no escape, Mr. Cotton.
I'm James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and I wish a few words exchanged. Face to face.
I fear you will all be disappointed.
He's on the move.
Try and head him off.
On my way.
Why so, Mr. Cotton?
Where I go, you may not follow.
And where is that, sir?
A place beyond mortal understanding.
And where would that be, exactly?
Where I shall find peace.
Mulholland, where are you?
I'm holding on over here.
Wait! Don't panic in the dark!
I'm not doing any such thing.
Where are you?
Here, below, hanging on.
Where?
You stood on me.
Take my hand. Now, up we go. Oh. Are you all right, Mulholland?
Well, I'm fine. One minute he was there and the next gone. I followed and stepped into nowhere.
An empty space. Do you have a lucifer?
Wait. It's the trap door of the stage, wide open.
And see, below. Oh, it's a long way down.
My God, like something out of a mystery play.
A broken neck. And banknotes scattered all over the body. The wages of sin.
Ow! Wait now.
He hasn't moved.
I doubt he ever will.
I felt it. A soul has departed. I warned you, James McCleavy. You bring death. You bring death to all you touch. The spirits have gathered. They watch. They wait for you. The doom will be your own.
Then Mulholland burnt his fingers again and all the spirits buggered off, I suppose.
How's the coffee?
Sublime. Mm. Does it have a name?
Mountain Breeze.
Very nice. Mrs. Gulliver has recovered herself, mostly in shock, the poor old biddy. She insists the whole money idea came from Cyrus Cotton.
And how is it presented?
A considerable donation sought to establish a school for psychic research.
He can do it for nothing now. Why did the old lady change her mind?
Somebody whispered in her ear.
I wonder who.
Uh-huh. But Mariana Eagle is in the clear. No proof against her. In fact, Mrs. Gulliver still swears by the woman.
So Miss Eagle has come out covered in roses.
And intends to stay on in Edinburgh. That's nice.
What about her predictions for your own future?
The doom of James McCleavy. Ach, we all have to die sometime, but as far as I'm concerned, the spirits can wait their hurry.
Here's some Mary of Witch's Brew, and I found some broken biscuits.
You are too kind, Miss Semple.
Oh, a fine piece of jewellery you sport, Hannah.
An engagement ring from Donald McKeever?
No such, just a ring. Here, this parcel was handed in at the door for your mistress.
Was it now? What could it be?
Some secret admirer, no doubt.
Don't be envious, James. Oh!
Oh, dear. Another corpse.
A poor wee bird and tissue paper.
It is a linnet, a singing bird.
Does it have resonance with you?
I had a dream, and in it, I was a poor creature such as this one.
Who would kill a poor wee bird?
The death might well have been natural.
Nothing about this is natural.
I shortly took my leave full of Mountain Breeze. Yet when I reached the gates of the Just Land, I looked back. Hannah had long gone, and Jean was sitting alone at the table. For a moment, she looked strangely fragile, like a child. But then she glanced up, saw me, smiled, and waved goodbye. So be it. When I reflect upon this case, all the ends seem tied up. It is ninepence. The music box has been returned. We Gertrude's mother may not outstay her welcome. The Moxie gang will pillage no more. Mrs. Gulliver got her money back, which now rightfully resides in the British Linen Bank. And then we come to Cyrus Cotton. It would seem he met his just deserts, though I cannot rid myself of the feeling that it was all laid out in front of me like a theatrical tableau. As for Mariana Eagle, she is a mystery to me, and likely to remain so. What in God's name is that? Oh, now I see. It is a seagull, a large specimen with a yellow hooked beak, and it has just tapped upon my window like a harbinger of doom. And the damn thing doesn't budge. Go away, seagull, or it'll be the worse for you. Away you go and choke on a fishbone. It still does not move, and looks in on me like a bird of ill omen, like a messenger from hell. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and tonight I shall lie with both eyes open on the qui vive.
In episode 3 of McCleavy, Inspector McCleavy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash was played by Siobhan Redmond. Constable Mulholland by Michael Percival Maxwell. Lieutenant Roach by David Ashton. Hannah by Colette O'Neill. Mariana by Claire Knight. Donald by Andrew Neil, Cyrus Cotton by Angus McInnes, Mrs. Gulliver by Sheila Donald and Craigie by Robin Lang. Other parts were played by members of the cast. McLeavy was written by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner. And next week, at the same time, you can hear episode 4, The Reckoning, in which McLeavy's desperate search for a missing person takes him into the very bowels of the city. That's next Tuesday afternoon at 2:15.